You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found that 12 fractional ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Homarg, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the big marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking moccasin and Joe. Where the party go hell? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm feeling great, good buddy. I'm watching all this nonsense, all this goofballs. It's unbelievable. I've never in my life seen such craziness. But you know what? I guess it makes that, makes this world go round, if you know what I'm talking about. And I want to please forgive us, ladies and gentlemen out there all around the globe. We've been having this technical difficulty every week. I have no idea what it is, but I'll tell you what, Bill keeps to come through like a champion and a trooper, a true trooper, because he gets us back out there, and I don't know what the problem is, but maybe we can work on a little bit harder for next week. What do you think?
Yeah, it's my phone, and it's a double phone, and it's hard to replace, so I got to get another phone like it.
Gotcha, I understand. Okay, well, no problem. We're on now, and that's all that matters. You know, you guys have heard me talk from way back when I talked about the weather. I'm going to tell you guys, I learned something new in this last week, and I think a lot of that has to do with what our first guest is going to talk back to the second side of what we're going to talk about, called the Nibiru. N-I-B-I-R-U. You might want to Google it, take a look. pretty incredible stuff. I got to tell you that right now. Pretty incredible stuff. And I didn't hear about it before until this gentleman, but he had an encounter himself with one of these creatures. Then he went into detail. Now, I'll be a son of a gun if I didn't go check it out. NASA knows about it and everything else. I really believe now the problems that we had with this weather and everything else has to do with this Niebuhr's thing. Guys, he's smart. He's well-educated on this, and we're going to hear from him. Without any further ado, let's go to Mississippi and talk to John. John, you out there?
Tom, hello.
How are you?
Tom, I'm doing well. You mentioned the weather, and it's just been absolutely, off the edge weird today, hasn't it?
It's not just today, John. We've been having the craziest weather since last October, and I for one, are feeling that the clocks of creatures are off. And the reason
absolutely.
Why was they don't know whether to go north, south, or in between.
Thank you, Tom. Tom, you are, I don't know if I'm talking over you. I don't want to talk over you. But, you know, you really are hitting the nail on the head. You've hit the nail on the head since you opened up the show. And it's astounding to me that circumstances as they had occurred here have brought me to the point to where we're actually discussing this. And, I've contacted everyone, you know, all of the contacts. I have over 250 business and personal contacts on my phone. I've gone out and branched out to as many people as possible because it is all in one bag right now as far as this Nibiru is concerned because it brings the whole conspiracy theories and just about everything in the nationwide news. Just every possible subject in the news today can really filter down to this Nibiru thing. Now, what I'm getting at is I'm especially happy that it's taken the foremost part of this discussion. You know, I of course we have great respect for you personally. I don't want to blow you up too much. You don't need it. You know, my wanting to tell the story about my incident with what folks are calling Bigfoot, and that's fine. I don't like to label, but I don't want to steal away from what you've opened up with, and it is about the Nibiru. And yeah, the animals are all acting differently. Everyone who's a nature person out there is going to notice right off that every animal that there is acting completely differently. Animals that you saw most of, you're not seeing as much as you had before. You mentioned the geese. You mentioned a lot of those things. Did you know that airports throughout the world, not only just the United States, are increasingly having to change their ILS settings and having to restatue it their landing procedures and their landing layout at airports.
Say no more. Hold on. Let me put you on pause and listen to me closely. We didn't talk about this, but I'm telling you right now, you go back to one of our archive shows when I talked about Tampa, Florida, and the reason why I'm bringing that up, they had to close the airport down for 3 days to restrike the landing.
Yeah.
The navigation was completely off.
Tom, that's just one airport, Tom. Every airport is having to do this. They're having to readjust their ILS settings. Do you know how important that is? That's the automatic landing system that's installed on the airports and it transmits to the plane. Pilots don't land and take off these days. It's an automatic. It's called ILS. All the ILSs are having to be readjusted. It works off of the North Pole. You know, everything's setting towards the North Pole. You know, you've got to rely on the computer to land the plane. They're having to switch over to manual operations because they're not set up. It's just a worldwide thing, but that's just one aspect. This thing is bigger than any of those single things. It's bigger than NWO, you know, this New World Order cover-up and all these FEMA camps and all that. It's every single topic in the news today tied up into one thing. And it all filters down to it. In just a short time, any person who gives even a least bit of interest in researching Nibiru will discover all
these
things. I got
to tell you this, John. I was never aware of it. I've been telling my listeners around the globe since October, like I told you, that something is not right out there. And as of just recently, okay,
yes,
we went across the country, across the nation here, and we're finding out that we're up, there's Morel mushroom, okay, there's berries that have come to fruition on complete harvestation, and no, these animals aren't touching them. They are not touching them. And I'm saying, where is the animal? And I've come to the conclusion, I know where they are. They haven't migrated down yet, okay, or gone up because of this damn thing that that I was just informed by you.
And, Tom, and I really, Tom, this thing, Tom, and please, if I overstep you, it's your show. Please tell me. This thing is not just some planet. It's not some comet. It's a collapsed star from what I'm learning, okay? We're all learning. We're all learning. That's the beautiful thing about this. We're all having to learn. But it's out there for us to learn. It's out there in plain sight. This thing is basically what is a collapsed star. The center of a star is made of metal. It's all magnetic. It's affecting the magnetism of everything it comes in contact with. There's some dreadful things, and yet, of course, you know, Bill and I had a brief conversation. I don't want to get too deadly about the conversation. Everyone should really learn it on their own. But yes, let's look at it in a mild sense. You know, animals operate off of a magnetic sense. You know, the geese, all of these animals operate off of this magnetic pull of the earth and how they know how to migrate. It's already been proved. They don't follow the stars. They follow an internal mechanism that's aligned to magnetism. All of the North Pole is moving, I believe, it's, I don't want to misquote myself, but by 35 feet per day, the North Pole is already shifting. It's constantly shifting daily. It's not a natural process, Tom. It's an influence by Nibiru as it gets closer. Now, this thing was, you know, talked about since the 50s. It's talked about in major magazines in the 60s. And later on, as later generations of presidents came into position, they began to cover this thing up, knowing the potential of what was going to be coming forth, you know, from the public about this thing. They've covered up for us in what they thought was going to be in our favor. But yet again, I don't want to get too deep into any one particular topic. It's too widespread. But, you know, getting back to the animals, all of the animals seem to be influenced by this thing. Those are just signs for us to pay attention to, and I'm glad that you've noticed that even before you knew about Nibiru. I didn't notice anything, Tom. You know, my coming into the knowledge of this thing was based on a simple biblical study. I had a little biblical discussion with someone about Genesis and Noah, and how the discussion was about the giants in the earth and the children of the sons of men. And it's a simple, you know, I'm not going to get involved in any aspect of this, you know, but it does involve even biblical discussion because, you know, I had to research the fact that this woman said to me, well, you're talking about Nephilim. Well, you know, Nephilim is in a later version. There's 350 versions of the Bible, but I go by, you know, I just tend to filter back to the original one, and it talked about giants in the earth, and it talked about the sons of men. Well, by my researching Nephilim, I found this Nibiru thing completely by accident. It referred to Nephilim and Anunnakis and other discussions that were taking place out here in the web world. And thankfully, I learned about this completely by accident. And now all of you are learning it. What I want to believe is by complete accident, because I had a discussion with a neighbor about, you know, the Nephilim thing was coming up, and I mentioned about, you know, they were supposed to have been these giants. And I said, and when I was younger, not so much younger, I was married 2 years, but, you know, in earlier years, I had an incident with this beast that I encountered. Now, I didn't encounter it by myself. My friend and I, we had pulled in on up a road, and there was two cemeteries on either side of us, and a well-lit end of the cemetery, this creature.
Bill, is he still on?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep, he's on.
Okay.
I was getting involved in that topic of the Bigfoot there, where this creature just comes running up and stops 50 feet in front of me underneath the street light, and it's just staring off into nowhere. And I'm sitting there watching this thing. So, you know, I know that, you know, you're making an effort here with this website. Now, if I hadn't talked about that with my neighbor, I probably would have never found you. I probably would have never discussed this thing. And we all wouldn't have known about Nibiru, probably, those who are listening who don't know of it, yourself included. And I believe that we all need to really look at this thing, at least for ourselves. Am I on or off? I'm not sure.
You're on. You're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mentioned I didn't know how this was going to be. But, yeah, I did want to mention that because, you know, I was invited to your show for that, and I'm so happy that Nibiru took the center stage, and I certainly don't want to go away from it. Those who want to research it, it's going by several names because of the cover-ups, because of NASA cover-up, for example. You know, ever since 2007, NASA has not allowed the public to see anything new off of our own Hubble. They shut down SETI, you know, which was supposed to be looking for, you know, life out there. They shut down those cameras. They've shut down every governmental camera from public view. You used to be able to go online, look at these things, look at Google Earth. Google Earth, they shut that off. You can't see anything from 07, you know, on up in space anyway. And, you know, with Microsoft's version of that, and you know, you just can't look at this thing. You're the public isn't allowed to look at this particular portion of the sky, which is approximately by Leo now, where you can see this thing. So private people are having to get their own telescopes to look at this thing. Now they're able to see this thing. It's picking up speed as it's getting closer to the sun. So their calculations have all changed. You know, they were talking about 2012. You know, and they said December 2012, and they're talking about all these future dates. You know, I'm looking at my research. You know, research, I'm not a professional, but, you know, like any of us can be. And I'm seeing where this thing's probably going to start having major influence on us. I mean major influence on us by the 27th of September. That's just a month away. My life has changed. I'm sure everyone else's will as well. And as well it should. You know, if this thing is going to affect us in any particular way, and you know, especially with our economy and everything else that is, you know, the world as it is, we certainly have a right to know about this. I'm glad that I'm given an opportunity, Tom. Thank you, and Bill. You know that I personally had an opportunity to at least get it out there, and thank you for your interest. It's going by a lot of different names, as I mentioned. They're calling it Wormwood, which is kind of a biblical reference. Nemesis. The 12th planet, they're calling it also Elenin, Eris, Planet X. They have all these names trying to cover it up. It's also being referred to as a Trojan asteroid. Wow, what a thing, huh? But, you know, it all comes down to this thing that's a star that had collapsed in itself, and there's a scientific name for it called a brown something or other. But it's basically a sun that's got seven planets that's surrounding. It's a little a miniature version of our own solar system that's traveling through space on an anti-elliptical 3,600 year cycle, and it's scheduled to hit us. And like I mentioned, all of this is right out there for everyone to look at. Some of the fears that I have, you know, like most people, we don't trust the government as it is. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, some of the fears about checkpoints and FEMA camps and all of that kind of filters into it when you're doing a search. But, you know, it all makes sense when you look at the proposed panic that this thing could cause, and as well it should cause. Some of the other sites that you can look at are JPL, which is a site that deals strictly with, you know, focusing on the rotations and set parameters of things out there in space. SETI, you know, is another site that's shut down. There's a really great site that you can get to, a telescope out there that you can look at called STEREO. It's two satellites out there that can look actually beyond the sun. And they're very active now. You can see all those photos of Nibiru. It was interesting to me to read Diddle. I've been doing nothing but research on this thing. In Hebrew, it refers to it as being the winged globe, which is so interesting because the Hebrew language is just so old. And then this thing looks like an angel when you see it in the sky. I mean, there's pictures of this thing now. It looks like an angel because of its magnetic effect on the dust that circulates around it. You know, if you were to sprinkle powderized metal on a magnet, you'd see what the force looks like around the magnet. Well, this thing is a magnet. It is a gigantic magnet. And it looks like an angel because the sun's shining on it, you know, and reflecting all this picture to us. And it's interesting that the Hebrew language actually has this word, and it's called the winged globe. Well, keep in mind, 3,600 first cycle, you know, this thing's visited Earth before, which is encouraging for us. You know, the world is not going to end. This thing is not going to hit us direct head on. But it's just going
John, pause for a second, okay?
Sure, yes.
This is probably the only real Bigfoot radio cast that's out there, okay?
Yes.
Now, what I want you to do is we have posted your drawings 1, 2, and 3 on BigfootLive.com, and my listeners around the globe can see. Now, let me tell you guys out there, this guy has helped a lot of people in the law enforcement for drawings and stuff like that. And what comes to his mind, he's like a photocopy machine. He remembers. I want you to take a look at these drawings when he went to that cemetery.
Yeah, that just this afternoon really quickly. But it's accurate in one sense, Tom, that I did include everything about it that I felt was particularly different of the things that I've seen. Now, if you remember, when I called you initially, wrote you the letter and contacted you a day or two ago, I mentioned that, you know, I have not seen any description of this thing except for that Pennsylvania, that recent Pennsylvania thing that you investigated. You know, I know that I was looking at your site and I saw where it says that they thought that it was being, you know, baby was being carried there and there might have been a male behind a female and breasts, etc. But, you know, what really caught my eye about it and actually caused me to contact you was I thought it was showing that right arm as being bare. And that was the first time in all of these many years that I saw something that looked something like what I actually saw. Now, Tom, I actually saw this. Now, the thing is, all of those out there that are listening that are witnesses of these things, we don't even need to get into it too much, do we? But I'm hoping there's others who have not seen it. And I know I talked with, I believe Bill has been convinced by evidence, which is great. You know, and, the thing is though, when I saw this thing, it did not look like any of the pictures of Bigfoot I've seen before. But you mentioned that there is a lot of different versions. You've seen so many cases throughout the United States, and I would imagine overseas as well, of the instances of this thing having different versions of itself, almost as though humans have different versions. There's heavier people, shorter people, hairier people, like Spanish people are more hairier, and, you know, and et cetera. Well, this thing is completely different. It was not human, I got to tell you, but it did have what looked like human skin legs, and the arms were excessively long. They nearly touched the ground if it stood, and they were all very thin and lanky, as you can see in the photo here. Now, what caught my attention in doing research was I noticed that some people mentioned having a big gaping mouth. I have to tell you, I saw this thing. It was only 50 feet from me, which is not far at all considering that it's lit up by a street light. I mean, this thing is fully lit up by the street light. It's standing next to this cemetery post, or what they call the gravestone there, and it's fully lit up by this, practically better than daylight, actually. And I'm looking right at it, and you see those hairs on the back? They were each individual hair was thick, like a pencil thickness almost. Very thick and very, very long hairs. The belly was exposed, so you can see even the muscular shape of the belly, and it was kind of thin there at the base of its abdomen there. And, you know, where it came together with the legs. So you can see there's kind of a cross between human there, you know, but absolutely in no way.
Time. I'm cutting into our next guest time.
Tom, Leroy won't be able to make it, so we can put Lee and Laren in Leroy's place.
Okay, fantastic. I just want you to know this, okay, we're going to have you back. This is really, really some incredible stuff. You're blowing a lot of my listeners' minds right now, as you did mine. I think they have to absorb it. Kenny from Pennsylvania, I hope you listened to what he said. He saw footage, and he saw that creature. And the creature that's in your footage looked a lot like the one that he saw. Just mute yourself out, John. And listen, we got a whole lot more show. We'll have you back next week, okay?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Thanks for joining us and taking from your time and sharing your story with the people around the world. Thanks again.
Tom, thank you, and I'm going to thank you ahead of time for a lot of folks that are going to look into this Nibiru thing. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of thanks there. And folks out there, if they'd please spread the word about it. Our government is not. I don't understand why, but it's up to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was John from Mississippi. Wow, it blew my mind, and I'm sure he's blown yours. Let's go to commercial, Bill.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Big Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes stories of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And back to you, Tom.
Well, Bill, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm getting a lot of people saying that they're having problems with the sound, as I can hear it now, too. Is there any way that we can improve on that?
I'm not sure. I'm not aware that there's a sound problem. It may be only with the stream. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Okay.
It is what it is right now. I mean, I can't change the stream. The stream is the stream.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go out to Texas right now, and they've been under, I don't know, gosh, 40 days of triple-digit weather. But we're going to talk to our representation and his son, who I've really come to enjoy and think he's going to be one of the next biggest Bigfoot researchers out there, Laren. Laren and Lee Joyner. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Hold on, Tom. Here's Laren. Hello?
Hey, Laren. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Okay, buddy. Thank you so much. Tell me what's going on. Phil, is it 30 or 40 days now straight of triple-digit weather?
Oh, man. I can't even explain, Tom. I mean, it's miserable. I mean, you can't get out of your house 5 minutes and you're pouring sweat. I mean, it's just it's awful.
Bad news. The drought's really... somebody called me up one day and says, hey, Tom, you got to come out here and look at my lake. The lake turned red, whatever that meant.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know what's going on here. It's, you know, I don't know if the Nibiru thing has anything to do with what we're experiencing, but I'll tell you what, it's crazy as hell.
Yeah, it is.
The reason why I had you on here, actually, besides your dad, Aaron, is because I got so many emails, so many questions from people out there wanting to know what actually ever happened out there in Frost, Texas. Who actually... Laid the traps out, and who baited them, and could you have those persons back on?
Oh yeah, I was the one that helped him set all the cameras and all the bait and all the sardines and the peanut butters and the trees and stuff, and I was the one that helped him set it all up. Yeah.
So tell the listeners out there, Laren. Tell everybody, at the end of the night, well, actually, not just the end of the night, did you personally experience anything yourself when you were out there?
Not that I could say. I mean, I didn't really see any glowing eyes. I mean, I really didn't. I think I kind of, like, smelt him, but, I mean, I don't know if that was just where we were by the lake or, you know, the environment, but... I mean, I didn't personally see anything, but I know something was out there. I could just feel it.
Okay. But were there other people out there who had a sighting?
Oh, yeah. As soon as we walked in, we had activity. My dad and you, and just right when we walked in, just things were going off left and right. It was just unbelievable.
What was the coup de grace? The coup de grace meaning when the whole night was over and 3, 4 o'clock in the morning as we're gathering up evidence and the gear, what did you find?
Oh, last camera, very last camera. You know, right before we all went out there, we set up bait, the sardines. We took the top off the sardines and set it right there at the base of the tree, and we took the top off a peanut butter jar and jammed it in the tree, and it wasn't the last camera, and we were getting everything, all the cameras out and stuff, and we hear some guy go, come here, we found something, and we all run over there, and the sardine can is literally crushed in a ball. And the peanut butter jars on the ground, and, I mean, you could obviously tell that something's been messing with it. But, I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, one, I will never forget it, ever.
So, if you know, that you said it kind of casually, but for those who have actually experienced anything like that, it's kind of a groundbreaking situation.
Yeah.
And let me explain. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand that this peanut butter jar was put up how high in that tree?
Oh, at least probably 7.5 feet, at least.
7.5 feet, ladies and gentlemen, okay. And was it wedged in between two branches or two limbs?
Yeah, it was wedged right where it broke off into other branches. It was wedged right in there.
Okay. Hard. So it had to take something that tall, number one.
Yeah.
To get there, right? And
yes.
Number two, strong enough, unwedge it. And here's the big thing. What did it actually do with the peanut butter?
Well, what I saw was it seemed to me as it took its two fingers, his index finger and his middle fingers, dipped it in the peanut butter, and it looks like he, like, stuck in his mouth. He didn't really like the taste of peanut butter, so he went ahead and wiped it on the tree. Wiped it.
Exactly. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? The creature actually dipped its fingers in, tasted it, didn't like it, took the remainder and wiped it on the tree. The thing that it didn't realize that the peanut butter is like plaster of Paris.
Yeah.
You could actually see the prints from the fingers of these creatures because we had our guy analyze it. Now, if you do go to the website, searchingforbigfoot.com, go to Table of Contents, and go to Frost, Texas, you'll actually see the pictures if it's not on. It may still be on the front page there, and I think it is.
It's somewhere, Tom. It's Expedition 2011, Frost, Texas.
Well, there you go. You will actually see, ladies and gentlemen, the actual peanut butter jar with the prints that David Clare analyzed and made a plaster of Paris cast of the size of these creatures' fingers. It just blew us away, I got to tell you. But more so than that, I understand by the people that brought us there, that there, one of the other locations, the creature had defecated in one of these jars. I don't know, Laren, did you know that?
No, actually I didn't, no.
Yeah. Lisa and her husband found it, and they sent it off to the DNA, and as I'm aware of it, as of today, they still have not gotten it after 8 months, 9 months, they still have not got it back. It's blowing my mind, right? Totally blowing my mind, but that's okay. But we experienced that night very few people in the world get to experience. And the thing that people don't know, Laren and Lee, and you do know, I didn't get permission to go on that private land till early or late that night. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. So that was a big thing for us. So you going out for the first time with us, how enlightening was it for you? Tell the people out there.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, I kind of didn't think we would, you know, find something or, you know, have any activity at all. But as soon as we walked in, I mean, it was just amazing things going off, and we can hear, you know, trees breaking and leaves just crumbling all around us, and it was just amazing because we were the only ones out there, the only ones. We had six teams, and it was just us out there, and it was just unbelievable experience.
An amazing time, wasn't it?
Yes, you know, it was.
And thank you for taking the time and sharing it with my audience. Is Lee there? Your dad there?
Yeah, he's right here.
I want to talk to him. Come on, would you?
Yeah, hold on.
Hello?
Hey, Lee, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well. It never ceases to amaze me. Out of all the states in the Union, all the action lately is just, and it culminates, keeps bringing me back, is to Texas. Everybody wants to know about Texas. So because we start off with Texas in our Bigfoot Lives movie, we end with Texas. Then with Bigfoot Lives 2, we start off with Texas all over again, because that's where all the action, majority of the action was. Let me ask you something. You were ahead of one of the teams out there in South Texas. What did you guys experience when you were out there?
I was on the team I was ahead of. We were down by the lake, going through the woods, and just checking everything out down there. And whatever it was, I seen something run. And I mean, it was only a few seconds, and it was gone. And then we got over to the other side of the lake, and whatever it was in the woods, it started growling. And the guy that was with me, we never heard nothing like that before in our lives, growl like that. We didn't know what it was, so we weren't going to go in there and, you know, see what it was, because we didn't know what it was, and we never heard nothing like that. It scared us.
And you know what? Never be ashamed of being scared, because we're all scared one time or another. Let me ask you this. While you were out there, okay, where you were on a different side of the property than I was. I remember I set everybody out. What, you had six teams out there, was it total?
Yeah. But there's a bunch out there.
Yeah, there was. But would you say that was one of the most compelling times that you've been knowing me out there in the field?
Yeah. I had a feeling when we went into that place that night, or when we went to check it out during the day, set up the cameras and everything, I had a feeling something was real weird. Why would that park be shut down in the middle of winter? Never seen nothing like that before out of a state park being shut down like that, but nobody could get on it.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Until we got there and we got the permission. What did you think of the evidence that we got on the last tree and picking up that camera?
It was pretty compelling. I mean, we had the dermal ridges and the peanut butter. The sardine can was... Now, this is a sardine can smashed up like a golf ball. This thing is... A man can't do that, you know? And when David cast the fingers and all that, seen the dermal ridges in there, and then we also had the camera where it shows a hand in the peanut butter. You know, it's all there.
Pretty incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Sure was.
I agree. Well, look, thank you so much, and I'm sorry you're going through all that damn heat and terrible weather. I can't wait till the fall sets in, because you know we're coming back to our favorite place. And I got to be very careful out there now in what I say, because everybody and his brother comes out and follows us. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But that's okay. But listen, good talking to you.
See, everybody wants to copy off you. They want to, you know. So they know you can get the evidence and know where everything's at, the creatures are and all that.
You know, I got to tell you a story. I get a call today from another state, I'm not going to say where, and there was a couple of guys up there saying that the Bigfoot hunter, Tom, sent me up to come up in this area, and they'd like to talk to the people. Well, of course, my people are loyal. They don't open their mouths to nobody, and they got me on the phone. They said, "Hey, Tom, did you send these people up here?" I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Okay, we know what to do. We're going to kick them out of here." So that's the nerve some of these people have got today. It just blows me away. I don't get it.
Yeah, they want to reap the spoils of somebody else's labor.
There you go. There you go. So listen, just mute yourself out. We got a lot more show here, and thanks again, and thanks, Lauren, because you guys sure are swell.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Lee and Lauren Joyner. Great guys. Just great super guys. And anytime I've asked for them, they were there. And just super, super people. Leroy ever join us, by the way?
Now, Leroy will not be able to join us. He had an emergency tonight.
Yeah, okay.
About an hour before the show, and he had to take it away. I'll find out tomorrow what happened, but it something.
Yeah, all right. Well, forget about that. Nevertheless, we wish him well, and we hope
he's
serious. Why don't we go to commercial real quick?
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot.com. And it's back to you, Tom.
Thanks, Bill. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you heard me say it before, and I'll say it till the day I die. Bigfoot Lives, it's award winner from the Pocono Mountain Film Festival. Best documentary, being hailed as the best documentary ever on Bigfoot. It's real. What you see is what we saw, how we saw it, when we saw it. If you haven't seen it, download it. Buy it. Get a copy for your personal collection. I'm telling you, it's incredible. Some people are saying Bigfoot Lives 2 is just as good, if not better, maybe even the greatest movie that's been out. But I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for you, there'd be no us. I want to thank some of my people out there, first of all, before we go to our next guest. I want to say hello to Dave, Chris, Mandy, and Andrew out there in Illinois. Thanks for joining us tonight in the chat room. Kenny from PA, you know what I think of you. You know what I think of Janine. Flycatcher, you're the best, man. Tyler, you are top drawer in my books. Mount Monadoc, you're okay. You're straight up, and I like that. Billy Green, you know you've been with me for years. Dave and Dave O, Rex Howdy Shells, like my own son. Tommy A.P., from Arizona. It's good to hear from you that you're still alive and things are well. Texas Lone Star, thanks for being with us. Guest 189 and guest 742, thanks for being with us also. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, you've asked for him to come back every week. He's enticing. He's off the chain. The man is off the chain. He's east from the East Coast. Talks more about Bigfoot than I do, I think. Jack, you with us?
I'm here, Tom. I'm glad to be with you again.
Well, glad to have you. What do you think about this Nibiru stuff?
Well, I've done some studying on conspiracy quite a bit over the years, and 2012, and also the 12th planet. I never heard it by that particular name, but I'm aware of the theory on it. I didn't actually know that there's a possibility that we actually have photographs and pictures of it with Hubble, he shared some things that I had never heard before, so I got to do some more digging now. I'm intrigued.
Well, I got intrigued when I talked to him. When he contacted me, he blew my mind. And then when I started putting two and two together, thinking about this magnetic field and what it's been doing to our airports and what it's done to this weather situation and knocking off the inner sanctimonium with these animals, that they don't know whether to, excuse the expression, shit or go blind. I'm finding out now where it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
you know, but I got to tell you, my guests and the emails that we've been getting, Jack, they want to hear some more of your stories. They says, can Jack tell us about some of his personal encounters? Well,
okay. I can do that. I wasn't actually thinking in those terms right now, so now give me a second to think of. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, how about if I start off with another vocal?
Hey, and by the way, some of the people thought you rocked when you did that. Why don't you do that and then tell us your most enticing experience, number one, and the one that you were scared to death with.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, I'm going to start with a vocal that can lead into a story or two. And I know that you've heard these yourself, Tom, because I hear it in one of your intros, your commercial break intro. And I've heard them on the Internet. And it's one of the most common Bigfoot vocals that I hear when I'm out in the woods. Oh, before I do that, can I tell you that you guys have been scaring me about the weather and all this. And I don't know that I mentioned it on the show yet. I might have alluded to it, but I've been on a bit of a sabbatical for my Bigfoot research since last fall, October, November time frame. And the last 3 days, well, it's been 95 or hotter here where I live, and I decided I'm going to put my theory to the test. My theory, my claim to fame is that I've discovered a way to be with the creatures just about every night, no matter what the season, no matter what the weather. So I'm going to put it to the test. I went out last night to one of my favorite hotspots, and I sat there with my equipment. I didn't do any wood knocks. I didn't do any calls. And I waited for the creatures to come to me. And I got there at 7:30 at night. I left there at about 11:30 at night. And just about every hour I heard distant vocals. So I know that, you know, at least this family group, you know, is still in the area, that around that hot spot, in spite of the heat, in spite of the weather, in spite of any magnetic phenomena that might be occurring in, around the earth. So I know that they're still present, and well, I'll leave it at that. So anyway, getting back to a vocal, the vocal that I was going to describe or actually attempt to imitate is what I call the angry Bigfoot vocal. And I've heard them very loud, almost like the dinosaur roars that you hear in the movies, in the movie theater. And I've heard them as quiet, almost as like a sigh. And they go kind of like this. I don't know how well that carried across on the phone. But many times I've heard them when I've been out there on a stakeout and, you know, scented so that they can't pick up my scent, and I'm sitting out there in one of the hot spots waiting for them to come through, and maybe if it's a frustrating night, I might end up trying some wood knocks. And once I finally lure the creatures in and they discover that it's me, that's a human, they, out of frustration, they do one of those sighs, you know?
Well, yeah, I've heard them before. I'll tell you, the one that you did last week, just I cringed, man. I got goosebumps because that you've got down so pat. Would you do that one again?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot. Let's see. It's a lot easier for me after I hear one of my recordings or hear, you know, one on the internet to actually duplicate it, but I can give it a try.
Incredible.
Those
sounds are, you've got them down, Pat.
It sounds an awful lot like their language, and you probably, but only in more excited version, you've probably heard their language from time to time in the woods, I imagine. Haven't you, Tom?
We have. Now, listen, can you tell us about the most important encounter that you've experienced with Bigfoot?
Well, the one that comes to mind as the most important and probably the most eventful was early on during my 4 years. And at that time, I'm also a UFO hunter. I'll just throw that out. And I was doing more UFO hunting than I was Bigfoot hunting at the time. But I also knew that there were eyewitness reports of Bigfoot, and I was kind of looking for him. But I was out doing some UFO hunting that evening in one of my favorite places, and I heard some unusual sounds. And I'm walking through the forest on a path, and there was a little bit of moonlight, so I could see where I'm going. Normally, I don't like to turn a flashlight on. I keep it dark. And I'm walking down the trails. I'm out in a pretty remote area, and it was about 9:30 at night. And as I'm walking through, I'm hearing what sounds like a deer whimper, you know, as if the thing was injured. And I'm also hearing this strange vocal sounds in it. And to me, and your mind does weird things when it's trying to logically process information that isn't quite right. To me, it sounded at that time like several teenage girls laughing and talking and giggling in the woods in the midst of a whimpering deer. And I'm trying to process that, and I'm thinking, I'm out in the boonies, you know. And this is during the school week. During Monday through Friday when kids should be in school. You know, what are teenage kids doing way out here in the woods? And there were no other cars parked out there, the main parking lot. I couldn't fathom how, you know, why kids would be out there. But that's what it sounded like. And I continued to walk, and I walked through the woods. And I'm also hearing this, like, a chirping sound, what I later recognized to be wood knocks. But at the time, I was thinking, well, what kind of, you know, I know animal sounds pretty much. I never heard a chirping sound like this before. And then I continued to walk, and I walked all over the place, and I finally came back to the original location where I heard what sounded like the teenage girls. And it was 2:30 in the morning by that time. And they're still talking. I don't hear the deer whimperings anymore, but I'm hearing them talk. And throughout the night, I heard the steady beat, you know, just like a tapping noise. And I'm doing it too fast. More like a rhythmic beat, and it went all night long. And then there was a point in time when I heard four loud wood knocks. And then it finally registered to me, wait a minute, this might be Bigfoot, and it might be woodknock. So I picked up a stick, I don't know what kind of stick, and I found a tree, I don't know what kind of tree, and I just started beating on it. But I tried to at least do the same sound that I heard. It did four, and I did four, and I did them spaced apart about the same frequency that what I was hearing. Then I heard three, and I did three. Then I heard two, and then I heard did two. I heard one, and I did one. All during that time when we were going from four to one, I also heard another wood knock racing through the woods coming toward me. And I was thinking, well, maybe the wood knocks that I was doing, the Bigfoot thought was coming from the other Bigfoot that's coming toward me. And maybe that Bigfoot was trying to let him know, hey, wait a minute, I'm not there. You know, who are you talking to? Lots of thoughts enter your mind, and you're just trying to process this. And then I had this limited Sony IR camera that I couldn't really do anything with, and I thought, I'm not going to turn this on until I see the whites of their eyes, or we want to say the red.
Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
Be back next week. We got to go. Thank you for your time. We're going to see if he saw the whites of their eyes, ladies and gentlemen, next week. Thank you, Jack, from the bottom of my heart. Johnny Paulson, get a hold of Marco Bill. I never received the package. Like to talk to you. I'd like to see what you have. All my guests, and I hope Kenny from Pennsylvania, you just listened to Jack, the gentleman I was talking to you about. Pretty incredible, isn't he? Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.